It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome, ladies. I'm so glad that you've joined us for our new study in the book of 1 John. This book is so wonderful for us to be studying right now in the time that we're living in. So many people are asking, how do we know if someone's a Christian? How do we know if I belong to the faith? How do I know about eternal security? How do I have assurance? These are great questions that we need to be studying, and I'm so excited to go through this book with you and to share the tests that are in 1 John that we can line ourselves up against to make sure that we really are in the faith. What better of a question to ask than, where am I going when I die? How do I get there? How do I know I'm going there? These are questions that pretty much plague every one of us. We all want to know what's going to happen when I die and how do I know where I'm going and who is it that can make a way for me to get to heaven. That is a crucial question that we need to be asking ourselves. And once someone is saved and professes faith in Christ, along the way, we will have trials and we will have stumbles in the faith that we just want to make sure, are we really soundly saved and was my conversion real? Was it true? Am I just professing but not possessing? How do I know I'm not a false convert? This is very normal to ask these questions, and I pray that as you do ask those of yourselves and others, that this book would challenge you to go through the test and to make sure that you are in the faith. And I think the tests here in 1 John are really going to help us come to that answer. And so I've entitled this first lesson, What is 1 John All About? This is going to be an introductory and kind of an overview of the book so that we can get to know kind of what's been going on. Why did John write this book? What is it in here that he is trying to convey to us, and why is it so crucial that we understand it? The book of 1 John is pretty much kind of like Christianity 101. It's a let's get back to the basics. Here's what it means to be in the faith. Here's what it looks like to be a Christian. Now apply it. And it's just such a great book for us to dive into now, especially in light of what's going on in the world and all the false teaching and the false teachers that we see. It's becoming so commonplace and everyone is naming the name of Christ, but how do we know who's in and who's out? And that's what this book is going to tell us, ladies. It's going to help us go through this and to be able to make sure that we're in the faith and not as one of these people that is referred to in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Let me read that for you. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. That is a fearful verse, and it's hard to hear that, but we don't want to be those people when we, at the day of judgment, and we see the Lord, and we're the ones saying, but Lord, Lord, I did this, and I did that. Aren't I saved? Aren't I in the kingdom? We don't want to be those people that are basing our works on our salvation solely on that. Yes, faith without works is dead. That is true. And our works will go in tandem with what's going on inside of us. But these people in this verse, they are talking about teaching and preaching in the name of Christ, but they were inwardly, they were never regenerated. They were doing different things in order to gain the Lord's approval. And we don't want to be those people. So that's why it's so critical for us to go through 1 John and to see who really is in the faith. So whenever we look at 2 Corinthians 13:5, it is a good verse for us to kind of start off with as we start diving into 1 John so we have some context. It says, test yourselves to see if you're in the faith. Examine yourselves. Or do you not recognize this about yourselves? That Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test. So we don't want to fail the test, but what is the test? Well, 1 John is going to lay it out for us. There's many tests we're going to go through, and we're going to see what it really looks like to be a true Christian. Like I said, the topic of true and false conversion is one that is at the heart of many. And so this book really exists so that we can line ourselves up to it and we can see who's in, who's out. And the verses in 1 John 2, 3 through 4 says, "By this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So that's just really interesting as we hear that, because it's going to tell us who's in and who's out, essentially. He says right there, if we keep his commandments, then we know him. If we don't keep his commandments, we're a liar and the truth is not in us. So as we go through 1 John, we're going to look at some of those things, such as that very test, and see, are we keeping his commandments? Are we lining ourselves up to scripture and showing ourselves approved? And I want to just kind of give some context of what was going on when 1 John was written. There was a rise in Gnosticism, and it was rampant at the time that John wrote this. People were wanting to be more inclusive and just let anyone into the church. Does that sound familiar, ladies? So he wanted to give a very direct approach to guard the flocks. And this book is written as to be able to speak the truth in love. John wanted us to know the truth, but he wanted us also to know about how to deliver that. You know, we don't want to just be very dogmatic in our approach and be very hard-hearted whenever we think someone isn't in the faith. That is not what Christ is telling us at all, and it's not what John is trying to convey here. He's wanting to give us a measuring stick, the Word of God, so that we know what it looks like to be a Christian. And so when he was writing this, the state of the church, you know, like I said, it was agnosticism and all of that was going on. And so in 1 John 5:19, I know it's towards the end of the book, but it kind of gives you the context of what all was going on there. He says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness," or in the wicked one. So how much truth does that apply to our life today? There's so much wickedness going on all around us. And it just seems to be that everywhere we look, everyone is calling good evil and evil good. And it's just not what we want to see in the world out of professing Christians. So this book is going to help us with that. It's going to help us see, you know, like it was in John's day, who these professors were, but not really possessing. It was written to the Ephesians at the church in Ephesus, but it's also a reminder for all of us. And, you know, Paul had even predicted this back in Acts 28 through 31. He says, "Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among you own selves men will rise, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be on alert. Remember that night and day for a period of 3 years, I did not cease to admonish each one with tears." And, you know, if Paul was already saying that back in Acts, and then here we get to 1 John, which was actually written between 80 and 90 AD, later in John's life, you know, there was a lot going on at that time to where Paul was predicting it, John was warning about it, and the same is true for us today. We see wickedness in our own world, and we need to be warned, and we need to be warning others of the danger that is going on. So this book is going to tell us plainly what a Christian looks like, lovingly but firmly. It's also described in a polemic way, meaning that it's not just positive, but it's negative as well. There's three constant repetitious themes that are running through this book. The first one being joy, the second one being holiness, and the third one being security. When you have obedience, sound faith, and love operating, they result in joy, holiness, and security. That is in the life of someone who is a believer. That's what constitutes their life. And in 1 John 3, verses 23, it says, "This is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us." So we are to be having a spirit of joy. We ought to be growing in holiness. And from there, we will produce security. And that is some of the running themes in this book. It's going to be how we need to speak the truth in love, how it looks in the light of a Christian's life whenever they have joy, holiness, and security operating within them. This is going to be very, very critical to how we proceed in the coming days as a Christian. Once we learn what it looks like to be a true Christian, we will be able to spot the fakes. And so that's why this book is so important, and I can't wait to go through it. And I just hope that we all learn how to line ourselves up against Scripture and to see that we really are in the faith. So I look forward to this journey with you. And if you want to find the notes for this Bible study, they're going to be under the tab labeled, What is 1 John All About? Under the Bible Study tab on Naomi's Table.